Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Happy Friday to everyone on this first day of August, and we're here to do another hour of education with our guest who will be coming up shortly. But first, we'll do some housekeeping, and that is first and foremost the number we want to give you to call in. It's 347-989-1363. You can press the number 1. You'll be in the queue to ask a question if you want to get on air and talk with us. We're more than happy to answer your questions. If you are a social person and you want to be on Facebook, you can go to Tough Talk Radio Network or my personal page, which is Lloyd S. Rosen. You can email me also if you don't want to get on the radio. You can email me at bowler900@sbcglobal.net. Ask the question. I'll get the answer for you, and we'll get back to you with it and let you know what else you wanted to know. You can go to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, and you can click on the Register to be a Guest tab on the website to become a guest on our show. We like to get authors on. We like to get people who have different things in their mind that they want to get out and promote, so we'll definitely help you out that way. You can go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com to learn all about the other shows we have, and we are growing, getting new hosts all the time. So you can also tape our show and record it on iTunes and listen to it as many times as you'd like. If you come up with questions, you can definitely get back to us, and we will answer those questions for you just as we would if you were live on the air. That's for the housekeeping. As far as the world, we still have an ongoing war going on in Russia, and we have an ongoing war in the Gaza Strip in Israel, and we hope and pray for everybody there that they come out of it okay, and they don't end up as refugees in some other country that really doesn't want them. So we hope that peace comes to both countries rather quickly, and we have a quieter world that we want to live in and do positive things in instead of negative things. That's what's going on in the world today. We'll be right back after these quick messages for our first guest.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to Life's Issues. We're here today getting ready to introduce my first guest. But before I do that, I want to just talk about a personal issue here for just a couple of seconds, which will take us right into our guest. I was married for 13 years to a young lady. I have two children from that first marriage. I'm very happy about that, very proud of my children. And I say that because a lot of people don't know this, but my second child, which was a young, healthy, vibrant male, came out at the age of 17 and told his mom and me that he was gay. Now, realistically speaking, should I have been shocked? Maybe, possibly, but I wasn't. Did I love him any less? No. Did I talk to him about everything that I always talked to him about? Yes. And we have a great relationship. He lives in Seattle. He works. He's getting ready to move out on his own. And I'm very much a part of his life now, as I am of my daughter's, who was married. She is now divorced, but was married. So she is a healthy, vibrant young lady. And having said that, I want to just introduce my first guest. She is the author. She is a Sunday school teacher. She is a member of the Texas Association of Authors. She has one heck of a story that I can't wait to get into, considering the fact that I, like I said, have a gay son and have not had an opportunity to talk to him personally and as deeply as I'd like to. But my first and only guest today, so we have her here for the full hour, is Luann Smoot. Luann, how are you?
I'm fine, Lloyd. I appreciate your asking me to be on your show.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and telling us your story and hopefully curing some myths that some people may have with their own issues in life. Now, I know I read your website. I found it very interesting, and I've got a few questions for you a little later about the chapter that I read on the website. But you are a lesbian.
You I am.
Did not come out until you were 60 years old, if I remember correctly?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Tell the story. I read it online last night, and so I know the story. But for my listeners, tell the story of what made you decide to come out.
I will say first that I knew I was gay from a young age. I would go back to probably age 13 when I had a crush on a girl. I didn't know then I was lesbian. I had no vocabulary whatsoever to even describe what I felt for her. And then I actually fell in love with a girl when I was 17, my college roommate. So saying that as a beginning, let me also quickly add, and later on I can go in more detail if you're interested, but we were Southern Baptist. My parents let me know right off the bat that being homosexual was an unacceptable lifestyle, that homosexuality was sinful, and they expected me to get married. Now, being brought up in the church, I wanted to honor the commandment to obey my parents. So when I was 24, I married. I married a good man, and I remained faithfully married for 37 years. And I probably still would be married to him if this incident that you have just asked me about had not occurred. Now, at the time, this was in August of 1999, and at that time I was teaching a ladies' Sunday school class in the First Baptist Church of Tyler, Texas, East Texas, if people listening are not familiar with Tyler. And I was visiting with one of the members of my class that I didn't know very well, and we were just sharing information about our children. And at one point, she admitted that her son was gay. And then she quickly added, but that's just the way God made him, and God loves him just the way he is, and we should too. And when I heard that, I was shocked. I had never heard anything like that. And it really completely changed my life. I didn't know it at the time. But when I got home that afternoon and started thinking about this woman and her problems and feeling sorrow for her problems, which was unusual for me because I really was not an emotional person. I was I had held my emotions in all of my life. And as a friend told me the next year, said, you'd have to have held your emotions in to have been gay and remain married for 37 years. And that afternoon, I not only felt sorry for her, but then I started feeling hope that maybe I had met somebody that would like me, even if they knew my dark secret, which I had held very close to myself all of my life. And then I realized that I was having other feelings, feelings that were centering around this married, heterosexual woman, because her words of acceptance, words that, as I said, I'd never heard before, stirred that dead spot in my heart, and I fell in love with her. After all my efforts to avoid this very problem, I had never told anybody I was gay. I didn't know any gays. I didn't read about homosexuality because I was afraid somebody would see me reading that and figure out I was gay. I even avoided having close personal friends because I was afraid I might fall in love with them. So I had lived a very lonely life, holding close to my secret. And that day, I realized all of those efforts had been for naught, because that feeling of love for a woman came out of the blue, and it just hit me hard. I realized then that I just could not pretend any longer, and I had to get out of my marriage. And so about 4 months after that event, that Sunday afternoon, I asked my husband for a divorce.
How did he take it?
He was sad. I thought he would be angry, but he was not. It was just a time of sadness, of acceptance. He was very kind. He did not know why I wanted the divorce. I did not tell him then why I wanted to divorce. I simply told him I was very unhappy. Our marriage had been difficult in the sense that, well, obviously there was no close love there. He loved me. I knew he did. But I was just simply incapable of feeling deep emotion for him. I tried. I prayed to God to please let me love him like I wanted to. But those prayers simply were not answered, and I was the very best wife I thought I was capable of being, but I just wasn't the wife that I knew he deserved.
So the divorce went through, or did you kind of just take your time with it, and if it happened, it happened, or did you say, okay, let's get this done so you can go on with your life and I can get back to what I really want?
We actually went through with the divorce. I guess I spoke to him at the beginning of January of 2000. It was about then. And we were actually divorced on April the 11th of 2000. So it went through rather quickly. He did not give me any problems whatsoever. He assisted me in moving a few things out of our house, and I moved into a little apartment. He was very kind to me. About 2 months after I moved out, he wrote me a long email basically asking me why I had been so unhappy in the marriage. And when I had asked for the divorce, I had no intention of ever coming out. Never. I was going to remain in the closet the rest of my life. I just wanted to get out of the marriage. But when he asked me why I was so unhappy, I thought, you know, I owe that man the truth. For years, he had referred to there being a wall between us. And I had never acknowledged the fact that there was a wall between us, but he sensed that there was. And I thought, the time has come to explain what that wall is. So I wrote a long email back to him and tried to explain what it's like to be gay in a world that simply doesn't accept gays. And when he received that letter, he wrote back immediately, said this was a subject he did not want to discuss over the phone. I'm on the phone now, but over the email. And could he come by my apartment the next morning? And I said, sure. So at 9 o'clock the next morning, he arrived, and when I opened the door, he just held out his arms and held me and cried, and I cried. And we sat down on the sofa together, and I gave him an opportunity to vent all these pent-up feelings that he had had over the years of not being able to be close to me. And at one point in our conversation, he said, is this something you thought about every year? And I said, every year? I thought about it every day.
Wow.
And he replied, it must have been a miserable life. And I didn't say a word because it had been.
Wow. Now, I, you know, in talking with you and reading your stuff on the website, we know how religious of a woman you are. We know how much the religion played a part in you growing up in your family's home. Has religion taken on a deeper, stronger part in your life since you came out, or the same, or how has religion played in your life since you came out?
I think that religion is not as important to me now as it used to be. I've been able to experience the effects of fundamentalism and opinions toward gays, and they're hurtful. I've been able to experience the church that I'm a member of, and I have remained a member of the same Baptist church. Now, I was a member of the church for 12 years before I asked for the divorce. And at that time, the congregation knew me as a wife, a mother, a Sunday school teacher, a handbell ringer, and a very active member of the congregation. And then when I divorced and started coming out, even though it would have been much more comfortable to have gone somewhere else, I thought God had planted me there for a purpose. And I remained in the church. I guess I did that because I wanted to help dispel the myth that Christians can't be gay and gays can't be Christian. And so my congregation is now seeing me as a lesbian in a committed covenant relationship. And I'm just hoping that our presence there will make a difference in attitudes.
Are you, for lack of a better word, are you shunned by some of the people in your church now because of it, or have they all pretty much been receptive to you with open arms?
They have been very kind. I hate to use the word receptive with open arms. We have been told, my partner and I both, that we cannot hold any positions of leadership in the church, and my partner especially had several important positions of leadership that were removed. Everybody's nice to us, but this is a subject that is never discussed. It's the silence that's kind of scary. And I read something recently by Martin Luther King, and when I King Jr., and when I read it, I thought, that's it. That's what I've been feeling. Here's a very short sentence. In the end, we remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And that's what is true in the church. There is such a silence on this issue. Nobody wants to talk about it. Even when I wrote my book and published it, and I sent an email out to many, many friends in the church, I never got a response, and very few bought the book. they don't want to know anything. It's just, it's almost scary in the silence that's prevalent.
So they pretty much, they live their life day to day in their own little cocoon. They're not willing to experience life as an open book and treat people with respect and kindness and get to know them outside of what they think life should be like, I guess.
I guess so. Now, I've been in the same Sunday school class for many years. I'm in the same one that I used to teach, and the members are very loving and very kind and very giving, but this is a subject none of them bring up. Now, I impose it on them occasionally, but none of them bring it up. And one Sunday, I was kind of bemoaning the fact that no one ever wants to hear my story. For example, I would love to have the opportunity to share my story within my own Sunday school department. And I could tell from their reactions that that would be impossible. It would not be a realistic thing for me to hope for. And then one of the members made this comment. She said, "But we're nice to you, aren't we?" And
wow.
It hit me. It hit me below the belt, and I couldn't understand why it bothered me as much as it did, but it bothered me. And when I finally mentioned it to somebody else outside of the class, they said, "Oh, it's because they think that that's all you deserve, is for them to be nice to you." And I thought, well, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's the interpretation I was not able to put on it immediately. But maybe that explains the question that you ask.
Now, you came out, and you're still in the church. You're still teaching Sunday school class, correct?
No, I am not teaching the Sunday school class. But that was taken away from me. I resigned before we were told we couldn't teach. Because
okay.
One of my pastors had suggested I should resign so there wouldn't be problems in the church.
Have you had the pleasure, for lack of a better word, of once you've come out and you've had a chance to live your life the way you want to, have you found that there's more lesbians engaged in your church than anybody ever knew, or are you and your partner the only two, or how does that work?
I'm not sure I'm following the question. If you're asking if we're the only gay couple in the church, as far as I know, yes. We're the only ones. Now, we're aware of others who have gay children, but they are very much in hiding. They do not advertise that fact at all. An interesting event occurs several years ago, two or three. We had a visiting pastor, and he began talking about homosexuality in a very negative way. And I had heard the same thing the week before from him, and I decided I wasn't going to listen to that anymore. So I just got up in the middle of the sermon and walked out. And as I walked out, I thought in my mind that somebody else would support me and walk out with me. And even after I reached the outside steps, I kept looking back occasionally, thinking somebody was going to come out with me. But nobody did, and nobody ever called me to say, "I'm sorry you had to hear that." No response whatsoever. So it's a subject that is just not open to discussion. No one wants to be openly supportive of homosexuality in the church. Now, we have had conversations with our pastor. He is a wonderful person. We love him to death. But we have agreed to disagree with him. He is of the old-fashioned Southern Baptist opinion that homosexuality is sinful, and that there is no place for same-sex marriage. And we can have discussions with him and enjoy the discussions in the sense that he's very kind. He has never talked down to us. He has never been unkind to us in any way. And I really think he likes us, and we like him. But this is a subject we definitely disagree on.
And in today's society, with the way that we have advanced as far as same-sex marriages and benefit rights for same-sex partners and stuff like that, that's not a bad thing to be at, instead of having to be at odds with your pastor or be at odds with people in your church. Because between you and me personally, I think that the gay and lesbian organizations have taken a huge leap forward compared to what it was like 20, 30 years ago. So, you know,
absolutely.
I think that
I am amazed at the changes that have come about in my lifetime, even since I came out, the changes that have come about. I came out in 2000, so that would be in the last 14 years.
Right.
It's been amazing.
I'm sitting here trying to put together a question. Now, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but being gay or lesbian is a sexual thing. It has nothing to do with your intelligence. It has nothing to do with what you eat, what you work, your job, what you wear, any of that nature. It's solely what your sexual preference is. So what do you think is wrong with society as a whole that they can't just put the sex side aside and accept people like yourself or my son as great human beings who want to further the betterment of the world?
Well, I think one of the myths is that it is sexual. It's, you know, true that we have preferences that are sexual, but at the same time, it's the attraction to the same sex for support, for just enjoyment of life. If somebody said that, you know, you can't have same sex at all, there would still be gays and lesbians who are attracted to members of their same sex, whether there's any sexual activity whatsoever. At least that's my opinion. It's just too much emphasis put upon sex. And now I'm trying to remember what the last part of your statement was.
What you're saying basically then is that being a gay and a lesbian goes much further than sex. It's much deeper
in
emotion.
Yes, sex is a very, very small part of it. It's been greatly exaggerated that that's what it's all about.
Well, maybe that is the avenue that people have to start going down to get a better understanding of it out, that it is emotional and not just sexual.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
Because,
and then we might even get into the subject of lifestyle. How many times have you heard the term homosexual lifestyle? There is no homosexual lifestyle any more than there is a straight lifestyle. And I read a book by Shaylee Wright called Like Me, and she was pointing out that she can choose to be a vegetarian, or she can choose to be a gym rat and go to the gym all the time, or she could choose to be a Harley girl. And she said those are lifestyles, and they're lifestyles that a person chooses. But homosexuality is not a lifestyle. It's not chosen. One doesn't have the choice to be white or black or Asian or tall or Native American. And she said, I didn't choose to be gay. Said one can choose not to act on one's homosexual nature for a while, but that choice will take its toll mentally, spiritually, possibly even physically, as it did with her. So another myth that's out there is referring to gays as having a gay lifestyle. because there is no one lifestyle. Some of us are Christians, some of us are not. Some of us have families, some of us don't. Some of us like to travel, some don't. So those
exactly.
are things you choose. And this
yeah.
This is not something a person chooses. I hope I'm not preaching here.
You know what? You're educating, and that's a good thing, because you're helping me to understand it, and you're helping me to have a much more rounded view of it. Not that I didn't have one already, but we're up against the half hour, so I need to take a break. And
all right.
when we come back, we're going to discuss your book and how writing your book has been therapeutic for you, and how it was to come out to your family and friends. So.
All right.
For starters, so my listeners know that we are going to discuss your book, and you have one out. Tell my listeners where they can find information on you and your book, and then we're going to take a couple of breaks, and then we'll be back.
All right. I do have a website, www.louannesmoot.com, and the book can be ordered there. I'm also a member of the Texas Association of Authors, and you can go to their website, and my book can be ordered through their website, as well as Amazon.com, and then the electronic versions are available through Kindle, Nook, Kobo, and iBooks. So I do not have a distributor to all the bookstores, but this gives quite a few availabilities for the book.
And that's definitely what counts, is being able to get it no matter where you have to go. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Very good. Thank you.
All righty.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to Life's Issues here on this Friday afternoon, the first day of August. We're talking with Luann Smoot, and I want to give the phone number of 347-989-1363 out for you out there who want to call and ask Luann any questions that you may have on your mind, and I hope there are some people out there who are interested in asking her some questions that you have in your mind in terms of being gay or a lesbian. Luann, we were discussing the fact that you have written a book, and it is available for people to find. And why did you write the book? The book is called A Christian Coming Out. Why did you write the book if you had thought about not ever coming out?
When I began going through my coming out experience, I kept a journal. And many times this journal was based upon email that I wrote back and forth to friends. There is one friend in particular that shows up in the book whom I named Barbara. And I will mention I changed all the names in the book. Everything in the book is absolutely true, some of it rather embarrassing to me. But I decided to change all the names so no one would be embarrassed about what I said. But it's the book is based upon a journal. And one interesting thing is a friend who had read it referred to the book as being brutally honest. And I had never thought of it that way, but she was absolutely right. It is a brutally honest book because I am not simply telling about my experiences. The reader is actually reading what I was feeling, what I was doing, what I was thinking at the time all of this took place. So I kept this extensive journal, and even as I kept the journal, I kept it password guarded so nobody would ever be able to read these innermost thoughts that I was recording. And even though I felt an urge to publish the book eventually, I thought, no, I would never let anybody read this book. It's too personal. But then as the years passed, I began thinking more and more, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to publish this book to help people understand homosexuality better. And if you were to ask me why or what audience I was looking for when I published the book, I would say that my first thought would be to publish it so it would be read by fundamentalist Christians, because I wanted them to know that being gay is not chosen. And I believe my book illustrates very vividly that being gay is not chosen. And then I decided, well, I also want young gay Christians to read this book because I want them to know the futility of trying to hide their sexual orientation, that this was something that they just should not try to do because it would bring them unhappiness. And then I thought, well, I got a phone call one day from my printer, and as odd as it sounds, my printer explained that she never reads books. And she said she, for some reason, picked my book up and read it, and said when she started reading it that she just couldn't put it down. She said, I've never enjoyed a book as much as I did this one. It was so well written and so intriguing that I could not put it down. Job well done. And then she called me, and she must have talked to me for a full hour about the book. And she explained to me that she thinks this is a book that everyone should read because it talks about how people treat each other. And, of course, her comments absolutely made my day. Now, I think I got off the subject somewhere, that you had asked me something that I probably did not answer, if you can figure out what it was.
You obviously wrote the book, and as you said, it's brutally honest. And
oh, yeah.
I didn't intend
to publish it, and I didn't. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, well, I really do need to publish this book. And so I began condensing and revising and correcting and finally got what I thought was a book. And then I attended the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship annual meeting in 2012. And there was a table set up by a small publishing company called A Paradox Publishing. And I kept feeling this urge to go up to them, and I did. And I very briefly described my book to them, and I said, would you be at all interested in publishing it? And I got very positive response, which surprised me. And I said, well, do you want me to send you a chapter or an outline, or what would you like for me to send you? And they said, well, is it completed? And I said, yes. They said, well, just send us the manuscript. So that elated me, and I went home and I revised some more. I cut and cut and cut, and what I thought was streamlining it, and sent it to them, and my partner and I went on an Alaskan cruise, first one she'd ever been on, and when we got back, within a few days, a card came in the mail that said that they were delighted to be asked to publish my book, and I thought, they're delighted. Well, I'm delighted. So it went from there. It was a very exciting time, Lloyd.
Now, you wrote the book, obviously, after you came out to friends and family as well as the rest of the world.
Right.
So a two-part question. Number one, how did your family and friends, being in East Texas, and I lived in that Dallas area for 10 years, so I know what East Texas is like. How did they take to you coming out? And then reading your book, did they understand you better? Did they find out things about you that they didn't know? How did that work?
All right. Coming out to family, I came out to, I have four children, and two of them immediately accepted me, no problems, love you, Mom, this doesn't change a thing. Another son, who was a bioengineering major, didn't readily accept it, although he has now, but at the time it threw him. He had enough knowledge about genes to tell me that it's impossible to be born this way. That I had to have chosen it, and I kept saying, no, I didn't choose it. I know I didn't choose it. And at that time, they were expecting their first child, and he said, do you mean our baby could be born gay? And I said, absolutely. And I said, if it is, you'll just love it. That's all. Just love it. And then the fourth one, I'm not sure has ever read the book. I sent him an attachment of the book as manuscript, and even though I've given copies of the book to the other three, this one has never indicated any interest in reading the book, so I have not pushed it on him. I think he has problems with it, but we don't discuss it. And he does come to the house occasionally for dinners and brings his family with him, so this is a subject that we don't discuss. Now, when I came out to my brothers, neither one had any problems at all with it. One of them told me I needed a support group. I didn't know any gays. I came out, and I didn't know any other gays. And he said, you need to contact PFLAG, which stands for Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. So I looked it up on the web and found out when they were meeting. And on Monday, April the 10th of 2000, I attended my first PFLAG meeting, and I've been active in that organization ever since. I drove up in that parking lot scared to death. I knew I was outing myself to strangers, and I'll have to admit there was a certain curiosity on my part as to what gays looked like and acted like. I thought, I'm going to find out. And, of course, I found out they're just like everybody else. We all look alike, basically, and we're from all walks of life and all different careers, everything just like anybody else. But go ahead.
I was going to say, isn't it amazing you find out they got two arms, two legs,
that's
two
right.
eyes,
yeah.
just like you?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And many yeah. of them had been married. Most of the time, though, they did not stay married near as long as I did. But most of them succumb to the pressures of society and marry and do what they're supposed to do and then realize it's just not for them. They're very unhappy in the marriage. So they're divorced and usually keep in very close contact with their children. And many of them do have children and grandchildren, just like I do. I have six grandchildren. So it's a normal life, and yet it's a very different life.
Yeah, and you have to ride that very thin veil between those two.
Yes.
A very different life, yet a because it is a normal life. I mean, you do the same things everybody else does. You go,
yeah.
You eat, you sleep, you go to work.
That's
you do
right.
Everything. You know,
pay your taxes. You have to
yep.
have house insurance. You know, it's all about the same.
And you mow
your yard once a week or so.
Exactly. And that's the issue that I'm having trouble with as far as society is concerned. A gay person is not a murderer. They're not a pedophile. They're none of this stuff. Some of them may be, who knows. But generally speaking, they're not. So I really would love to get inside the heads of people in this world and figure out what it is that gay people do that's so bad that you can't accept them as human beings on the face of this earth.
Well, I think it's tradition. I think it's passed down from generation to generation. I think that's the same way it was with segregation and slavery. I think we're taught to hate other people that are different. I think there is a basic need in the human being to feel better than somebody else. And for some reason, there are groups that become, the hitting post of the rest of the society that they can put down so that they feel better about themselves. It's a shame, you know. Jesus came to bring us together. He reached out to the outcast. He wanted there to be no us and them. He wanted everyone to be together and to have love for each other. And over he talked about, this is how you will know that you're mine, that you have love one for another. And so it's amazing how Christians cannot see the truth in that statement and yet must, I don't like to use the word hate. I don't think they hate us. They just feel superior to us. They feel they're better than we are and that they need to point out that we're sinners. And, of course, I don't think we're sinners. I don't think being homosexual is a sin. I think the scriptures tell us that if you're guilty
then
you're guilty of all sin. One sin is the same as any other, and I don't think Jesus grades us on the curve.
I'm sure glad some of my teachers did. But what I'm trying to say is that I forgot the thought. But
okay.
You're absolutely right. The superiority factor enters into it. They think that they're better than you are, and they're no better. And here's the question I had was, isn't it going to be a rough day in this world when karma, if that's the word you want to use or whatever title you want to put on it, comes back to haunt these people who don't love and respect you as a human being but despise you and dislike you because of the sin of being a homosexual?
Well, yes, but I'm not going to worry about that. That's their problem. That's not mine.
That's exactly right. It's their problem.
Know,
it's a big problem.
I think we're made to feel shame for something that we should not feel shame for. And I think shame comes from society. I think, for example, if we think of the Chinese, when they can have only one child, I think the mother feels shame when she gives birth to a girl instead of a boy. That shame is not from God. It's from society. And I think, in a way, the same was true in the scriptures when you talk about John the Baptist, mother and dad, Elizabeth and Zechariah. She was childless, and I think she felt shame for being childless. But it wasn't because God was looking down on her. It was because she felt society was looking down on her. And I think a lot of the problems that homosexuals have, they bring on themselves in many ways, in the sense that they stay in hiding. They feel this shame that is put upon them by society. And because of that, they stay hidden, which is what I did for 60 years. if we would all come out at once, I think the world would be absolutely amazed. But so many are still in hiding and remain closeted and don't want anyone to know that they're gay.
Well put. Well put. I'm going to have you give the information, now that we talked about your book and gave the title of your book, give the information again as to where my listeners can get your book and find out more about you, and then I will give you the final word.
All right. My book is titled A Christian Coming Out and subtitled A Journal of the Darkest Period in My Life. My name is Lou Ann Smoot, L-O-U, another word, A-N-N-E, S-M-O-O-T. I have a website where the book can be ordered, www.louannsmoot.com. It's also available through Texas Association of Authors website, also Amazon.com, and then electronically through Kindle, Nook, Kobo, and iBooks.
So there you have it. Every which way you can find Lou Ann's book, I suggest reading it because it is an eye-opener. It gives you a whole different approach to a subject that a lot of people do not and will not face head-on. So maybe they'll pick your book up and take it and use it to take it on head-on and learn something new that they don't know, and open up their mind and their hearts to something that should be opened up to. I'm going to go ahead and give you the final word before I say goodbye.
All right. I was interested to hear from someone who had bought my book that he took it with him to the golf course and handed it to a fella that he knew had a gay son that he never talked about. And so my book gets handed around from one person to another. I do want to just emphasize the fact that my life illustrates the fact that homosexuality is not chosen, and no matter to what extremes you go to hide it, it's going to always be there. It's not going to go away, as my life illustrated, as I stayed in hiding until I was age 60. In fact, if I have just a moment longer, I remember at a PFLAG meeting, someone bringing up the subject, if there were a pill you could take that would keep you from being gay, would you take it? And everybody at the meeting but one girl said, yes, we'd take that pill. But this one girl looked up and she said, no, I wouldn't take it. I like myself the way I am. I thought she was crazy. But then now, having lived this life for a while, I would agree with her. I wouldn't take the pill because I like myself the way I am.
And that's a very good way of ending this conversation, ending this interview. I appreciate you coming on today, Lou Ann.
Thank you so much, Lloyd.
And I hope maybe you reached as many people that are out there that needed to be reached, and God opened their heart and opened their mind to learning something new and something better about how to treat people. So.
Well, thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you for coming on, and hopefully we'll speak again. And if I get back to Texas, I'll look you up in Tyler.
I appreciate that. I would enjoy that very much.
All righty. You have a great afternoon and a great weekend.
Thanks.
All righty. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That was Lou Ann Smoot. I'm sorry, Smoot. A lesbian who came out of the closet at the age of 60. We'll be right back after these words.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to Life's Issues. We're here the last 5 minutes or so of the show, and I just wanted to touch base and let everybody out there who has listened for this past year a couple of things. Number one, I'm going to be starting my speaking engagements. I have a speaking engagement at a Rotary Club here where I live, and I'm going to get a chance to share my story with them. I also am going to be sharing my story before a Christian men's conference, so I'm looking forward to spreading the information that I have and the wealth of knowledge that I have as far as depression and suicide is concerned. My book is moving right along as far as getting republished, and again, I'd love everybody to check out my website at lloydrosen.com. It has a blog on there. Please read it. Please let me know what you think about it. It helps me to come up with writing and keep giving information out as we do here on the radio every week. I also have signed on with Tough Talk Radio Network for another year, so I will be continuing to broadcast and bring you all the guests that I have every Friday afternoon, and I hope you'll join me and continue to listen and continue to like what you hear, and please let me know what you think about the show and how you can see it improving, because that's what I'm here for, is to teach but also improve as the weeks go on. So on that note, I will bid everybody a happy Friday and a good weekend, and have a great week. And we will be back next Thursday. We are changing times on the show here. We are going to be on Thursdays at 1:30 Central Time. So it's just a change of day, not a change of hour. It's just Thursdays instead of Fridays. And I hope everybody will find the time on Thursdays to join me again as they did this past year on Fridays. So until then, remember, you are one person in this world, but you could be the world to one person and help them overcome their life's issues. So until then, have a great Friday and a great weekend, and we'll talk to you then. Take care.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.